My name's Lee Glynn, I'm the deputy head teacher at Horseside Primary School in Blackpool. Assessment is really the cornerstone of us as an establishment. It begins very, very early on. From the moment they step foot into school, we make use of data that comes up from any partner nursery schools, and that helps inform the teachers in foundation. So for the five-year-olds and the six-year-olds, they know at the children's starting point. Around about October time, the staff have got to know them, and we've established a baseline, which is crucial for any school to know the starting point of the students that they're dealing with. At that baseline, that's kind of the first time where any sort of hints of special educational needs or disability may first be brought to the attention of our inclusion team. This careful tracking, I think, is the key to any school, and careful tracking of children's abilities. And in the early years, that is done by using the early years foundation stage profile. And the teachers will very carefully track individuals against each of the 13 strands, bringing to any attention anything that seems out of the ordinary in any way, and covering sort of the more able children and also those with potentially specific learning difficulties. We will set careful targets, and the targets will be in place from foundation, and the similar process will continue into year one, year two, all the way up into year six. In terms of the foundation stage profile, we'll have a baseline assessment, and we know that by midpoint in the year, so many scale points should have been achieved by those, and then we can very quickly identify children that are on target for progressing to where we'd expect them to be at the end of the year, or any children that maybe aren't on target. The ones that aren't, for whatever reason, again, are brought into sort of discussion with our very strong inclusion team, and then we can look at maybe involving some of the other processes that happen. We also at Horseside take the whole child very seriously. We've recently set up an opticians in school, with particularly when we're looking to identify a specific learning difficulty such as dyslexia, because we're able to investigate whether there are colour issues, and the optician will give us a great deal of information about that. That then enables us to make sure that we can provide the resources for such a child should that be identified. Speech and language therapy is something else which we believe, communication difficulties is at the root of a great deal of reasons why children aren't progressing at the rate that they could do. We've allocated funding directly to employ our own speech and language, and already seen the impacts of that, particularly further down in the early years. I think that's what good SEN support is. It's supporting a child in the right way, and whether that's a learning difficulty or indeed in some cases a physical need, i.e. sight or hearing or speech, that's what making use of that service has allowed us to do. In order to keep this very rigorous system in place, we hold termly pupil progress meetings, which involve class teachers, support, and also our inclusion team, who will come and we specifically look at the tracking information, look to see if there's any deviation from expected progress, and then crucially building interventions to try and meet those needs. The useful thing is the assessing pupil progress materials came down from a secondary model, which has been in place for numerous years now, and then the primary school started to take it on. And we found it a very consistent and useful tool to enable us to, across the year group, away from having to use standardised tests, but a way for us to use it primarily as a teaching and an intervention tool to make sure that all pupils progress at the rate that which we would like them to do so. And this information is used by our secondary schools. We will send up any assessment information that we do have, and they will make use of that when they're considering setting or when they're considering where to place children within their own provision. Children with specific educational needs or disabilities will also have a shared meeting between the inclusion departments, if you like, to make sure that if there are specific needs, that the secondary school where the child is attending is able to try and meet those. And again, I think those close links around transition are very, very important if we're to ensure the best possible educational journey, the best learning journey for the children we have in our education system at present.
I'm Michael Shepherd, I'm head teacher at Horseside Primary School. Some of the benefits and some of the outcomes that we're seeing from the approach we're taking is that we're able to track very short-term, very small steps to improvement. So for certain children, they need to see that they're making small steps to improvement, because sometimes the levels that we've got from the national curriculum are too big a leap, and if they can't see that they're making progress, they can tend to very disenchanted with that.
My name is Sue Towers. I'm the Vice Principal of West Oaks, which is the Northeast Silk, which is a specialist inclusive learning centre. We're a specialist provision that caters for pupils 4 to 19-year-olds. The differences between teaching in a mainstream setting and a specialist setting, for me, is that working with the whole child, the whole family, whole child, the holistic view, the multidisciplinary meetings and assessments that you need to make and bringing a lot of information together can be quite overwhelming to start with. That was a major difference. In terms of teaching and learning, not that many differences. The generic elements are very strong. Teaching is teaching, learning is learning, and how you apply that to the setting, therein comes the creativity in designing the appropriate learning steps and devising the appropriate assessments that meet that range of needs. It's often in reinventing a wheel at those lower ends of development, which can be the challenge in special schools. It's not on a shelf to pick off. It's not there produced nationally, so we often have to create our own. But again, that's about people's professionality, creativity, and actually keeping the eye on the ball in terms of what they're aiming for, which is pupils' learning outcomes. Differentiation is a really key aspect of any good teaching, and it still focuses on all those levels that the children come into the classroom with, that you have to have prior knowledge of, building on those, being clear where your targets are set, where you want them to be by the end of a term or end of a period of time. It might be even just that day in some children's cases. So that creativity comes in that breakdown of those steps, those targets to be meaningful at the classroom level. In the specialist setting and with the mainstream colleagues we still use all the national frameworks that are out there, again with due adaptation. We utilise the P scales, as again many mainstream schools do, and we try and use those as wisely as we can. We try not to be too slavish to those. They're about, again, appropriate assessments in the appropriate places, and that's my job as a senior leader to ensure those are in place and to make sure those are carried out with good judgments, by proper moderation, by proper standardisation, but in the same vein, they've got to be meaningful and they've got to be broader than just the core subjects. That again is particularly significant with pupils with special educational needs. They may well be achieving in areas of curriculum which are not the ones we spend our time monitoring. So speaking and listening can be a really core strand to much of our work, and as a specialist school for communication and interaction, that of course is one of our focal points. But also personal social development, really key one for pupils with special educational needs, and one where we can show huge gains in progress over time that may not be as visible in the data that you may have to collect in maths and science and literacy. So we try to go for a much wider profile, much broader based, and really show the things we value and not just measure the things we're asked to measure.